Holler.
You found the best of Holler Weekly.
Holler.
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 A transatlantic discussion of country music.
Welcome to Holler Weekly. This is your transatlantic podcast featuring all the music, country, Americana, and roots. I'm Kelly Sutton in Nashville.
I'm Baylen Leonard. I'm in London. Hey, Kelly.
You know, they always say that time flies when you're having fun. It has flown by. Our first season of Holler Weekly is wrapped. How crazy is that?
Yeah, what a fun time it's been. And thank you all for joining us and being here with us and all of our guests as well. It's been a really great first season. And just being able to connect via country music across the ocean, not just with you, Kelly, and with so many of our guests, but also all of you guys that have been listening, have been great. We're going to be back for season two. Don't worry. This isn't a goodbye. But, you know, summer coming up, vacations and holidays, lots of stuff, lots of movements going on. And we thought, hey, you know what? Let's stretch out. Let's enjoy the summer. I mean, you've already been to the beach, Kelly. I have yet. Well, actually, I was at a beach in Wales.
You were at a beach. While you went to Wales.
In Florida. But let me tell you, two very different beaches.
Really? Okay. Mine was white powder sand. It's absolutely perfect and gorgeous.
Mine was a mixture of kind of rock and pebbles with a bit of sand.
That Ooh, was more that does not feel side. Comfortable on the toes.
It was beautiful, though. It was okay. Beautiful. It was stunning. But yeah, I didn't exactly get a sunburn. Not that I would have, because okay. I'm all about the SPF.
Put on the SPF, friends. Put yeah. on the SPF. You know, the one thing about this season that just struck me is just how many people that we got to talk to in such a fun setting. Because you and I, we do this all the time and we get to talk to our friends. But this was such a fun, different setting for them. I think they had, like, it was a next layer of getting to know them. You know, they were comfortable. It was like hanging out with them in our living room.
Absolutely. And that's what we wanted it to be. And you guys all hanging out in our living room as well. And of course, the season one hot minute champion.
Oh my gosh.
You know, one hot minute was always fun, but it really built over the, I mean, people got more nervous about doing that than anything else. Everybody always
they
said how nervous
did.
They were.
Absolutely.
So our one hot minute champion of season one, Tennille Towns, the final guest of season one and taking home the one hot minute crown, scepter,
yes,
cape, championship belt.
I would say all of the above, because we are transatlantic. They have to have a crown and a scepter, but sure. Then, you know, here in the States, it would be like a wrestling belt,
yeah.
Like one of the big gold
I'm
wrestling belts
that.
For WWE.
Down with that.
Right.
So listen,
right.
What we're going to do on this episode is we're going to look back at some of our favorite moments of season one of Holler Weekly. We're going to hear from some of our favorite guests. And just, are we calling this our best bits?
I think it's best bits.
All right. So enjoy.
Holla.
Holler.
Jordan Davis.
Hi, Jordan.
Hey, thank y'all for having me. Been looking forward to this.
It's good to see you. Congratulations on By Dirt. This is awesome. New music, new baby on the way. You're doing all the new stuff right now.
Yeah. New tour, right? 5 days after baby's supposed to get here. Just bring it on.
Timing.
Yeah, timing's not a, it's not a strong suit of mine. So
what is there a plan B if baby's late?
I guess we could FaceTime. I could FaceTime him. No, I'm kidding. I would like to think that if baby is late enough to where it interferes with my tour, we've got bigger problems. So I think, good Lord willing, everything goes well and baby's here long before we take off on the road.
So, you know, your career's been like boom, 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 boom. And then suddenly you're like, oh, okay, I don't have to put on jeans today. Like, did you enjoy it at all?
No, I did. I am a much better, I fished a lot. Like, I definitely fished a lot. But I did, I, you know, because we were running wide open, like touring 100 plus dates a year. And then, you know, doing stuff on top of that as well. So we were gone a lot. So the time to be at home, especially with Eloise, like those, you know, first year of her life, I pretty much got to see, wake her up every day, which is, I don't know if I'm ever going to have that time with however many more we have. So
but yeah, not if you're FaceTiming into the birth for the
right,
definitely not. I might be. I don't even know if I'm going to have a wife. But I did. Kristen, I enjoyed.
Kristen's
that.
Not going to like that. Yeah,
not at all.
No, not at all.
The other thing that we talked about, Kelly. I don't know if you noticed this, but I was talking to Jordan about this earlier. You know, he did the exact opposite of what a lot of people did during lockdown, where, you know, he had the beard all happening. Mm-hmm. Lockdown came. Everybody grew out the beard. Jordan was like, no, going the other direction. And now look, look how tidy it is now.
But
I know,
it must grow so fast, because every time I see you, it just gets fuller and thicker. And I remember talking to you at CMAs. It must have been 2019, because we didn't get to do 2020. But like seeing it, it was you were full on going a little Stapleton there.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was intense. I even like see photos of me around the house of me at my wedding. And I'm like, dear God, what was I thinking? Like, I looked like a homeless person, to be honest with you. Like,
that's my favorite game to play. Homeless or songwriter. It's great.
Hey, it's fun to play at Americana Fest, let me tell you.
Americana Fest or East Nashville, honey. That one's a great one.
Yeah. I was fitting just fine in East Nashville around my wedding.
This is Sandalgate, the full story.
And then I want to ask you this. The sandals that you wear on your feet in the UK.
I don't wear sandals.
You don't wear sandals?
No, I really have an issue with sandals. I don't have an issue with feet necessarily, like per se. Sandals. I mean, you know, at the beach, yeah. If I'm on vacation or holiday and I'm at the beach, I'm still not wearing sandals. Flip flops or slides, sure.
Okay, well that was my question.
Okay, this wasn't the point. Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
It's fine. I like it when we talk about other things and it's not rambling. It's just talking.
We don't ramble.
But we don't ramble. I wanted to know what you called those shoes, because, you know, here we call them flip-flops.
Yeah.
But in, I believe, Australia, thongs. They call them thongs.
Yes.
Right? Are they thongs?
No, here they're flip-flops.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, thongs for us are underwear. Like, so when you say thongs, we're like, oh.
We have thong underwear as well in the UK. And underwear, as we've discussed, I think probably every episode, pants. pants comes up most episodes here on Holly Weekly. So if you're here for the pants chat, welcome along.
Welcome to the pants chat.
We hit it early this
ding,
week.
Ding,
yeah,
ding.
There we go. So that was your, but why did you say sandals? Because that's a whole different thing entirely.
Well, because I mean, we call them sandals or flip-flops, but
no,
I just.
No, you don't call them sandals.
Yeah.
You don't call flip-flops sandals. No,
sure.
You don't.
No, we do.
No.
Sure.
No, you don't.
100%.
You call them flip-flops. Sandals are totally different.
Well, they can be.
Sandals have straps across
I
your feet.
I feel like, listen, sandal is the category. Flip-flop is like
no,
a subcategory in the bigger category.
I wholeheartedly disagree.
Oh, my gosh.
Sandals are totally different.
Take it
different
to the socials.
Flip-flops.
Take it to the socials. People,
all right, let us know this, please.
You let us know. You can find us, Holler Country, at Holler Country on social media. Answer our question, please, because clearly we're finding no resolution right here.
No common ground on this one.
I had no idea this was going to be such a big deal. The Twitter flip-flop debacle. The debate, flip-flop gate, whatever you want to call it.
You can go back and listen to the episode right before this one, episode 10, I believe it was, where Kelly made the what turns out to be a factually inaccurate statement that sandals are flip-flops and flip-flops are sandals. This set off a storm, the likes of which Holly Weekly has never seen on social media. So thank you for all of this. Kelly, perhaps you would like to read them.
Well, okay. Here's where we're going to start. We're going to start with Darlene, whom I thought was a friend, but clearly we have a difference of opinion. Sandals are not flip-flops in my book. They are two totally different types of shoes. Flip-flops mm-hmm. flop. Sandals have mm-hmm. straps that go across your feet. So.
Thank you, Darlene.
That was Darlene's first tweet. Mm-hmm. We had a follow-up tweet when I said...
Oh, after you went deep diving.
I said, I do believe a flip-flop is a type of sandal. It is not a sandal per se. Like, I don't think that they are the same. I think that the main title is sandal,
okay.
And the subtitle is flip-flop. And then she agreed with me. So now we're friends again.
I always think if you have to go into that much explanation
okay,
for something,
okay,
then
okay.
The argument doesn't really hold water. Job not done. Calista, can I also ask, if you are wearing flip-flops, would you call them sandals?
No, I would call them flip-flops.
Thank you.
Are flip-flops sandals?
Yes.
Oh, come on. Cowboy hat or trucker hat?
Trucker hat.
While Ross is counting, we'll come back to you, Ross. One bonus question for you, Brittany Spencer. Are flip-flops sandals?
I would say yes.
Yes! That's right! Yes, yes,
really?
Yes,
yes. Like, if you said, go get my flip-flops, and somebody came back with sandals, would you not be like, I said flip-flops?
Only thing they're really saying is, hey, can you bring me the shoes that only take 2 seconds to put on, because all I have to do is slide my feet in. That's all anyone is ever wanting.
That's exactly right. Brittany is right on.
I'm pretty upset about the sandal thing, to be honest with you. You know.
Do you love the fact that I slid that in at the end?
Well, I thought it was a bit petty.
Oh, did you?
You're listening to the best of Hollow Weekly.
Okay, so am I back? Is it working?
You sound so good.
And now Ernie's at the door. I'm so sorry, guys.
I love Ernie. Ernie is our other co-host, by the way, Thomas.
Ernie is in the house.
Holler.
Holler.
Holler Weekly.
I love that we keep talking about Americana, but we still don't have any idea what that genre is. There's no definition, but we have somebody that's going to give us the answer. I am sure he's going to boil all of it down for us. Joff Owen is our contributor. He's joining us now with the most important question I think that we're going to answer all day long. What is Americana? Hey, Joff.
Hey, Joff.
Hey, how are you?
We should say, though...
Are you expecting answers
from me? We should say, though, Joff, we're not going to lay all this at your feet, because there is actually a definition of Americana, Kelly. If I had it here, I'd read it to you. Maybe Ross or Kirik, official definition, please, of Americana in the dictionary. But it still doesn't help, because it's still a conversation that we have to have all the time. Joff, it's like a feeling, right? It's a vibe.
What, the conversation or the Americana feeling?
All of this.
I mean, it's a conversation I have all the time. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And so I investigated for a couple of months for you guys. And I must admit, I didn't get anywhere sort of towards a definitive answer. But I kind of got a vague feeling. I could tell you what is and what isn't, but not why or how.
Kira, I think, has the official definition. Did you get it, Kira?
Yes, so it says, all forms of traditional music indigenous to America and their modern variants.
Oh. There's
That's
one
not
that,
the one I've got, no.
Yeah, what's the one you have?
I've got one that incorporates elements of American roots music styles, but they live in a world apart from the genres upon which they draw. That's like the key. So they're not folk, country, bluegrass, but they take elements from
they're them. Adjacent yeah and
then it they're adjacent and then adjacent
I,
too, yeah.
I read one that was kind of a combination of both of those definitions but included usually played on stringed instruments, and I was like, good Lord and butter, as my grandmother would say. Like, this is so complicated. By the way, if you head over to holler.country, this article by Joff is there, and it is a wonderful read, because I love your approach to this, Joff, because actually, as we've just discovered, official definitions do not help us. So you have said about it by things like hat size, song length.
Yeah. Right.
And so to take us through some of your, I mean, this is, let's face it, this is the most scientific we've ever been on Holler Weekly. So take us there.
Truly.
Dr. Joff.
It is a bit like, I was thinking the other day, it's a bit like if like sort of a load of doctors got together at a medical conference and they were all going around saying, what's medicine? It's kind of like that. We're all involved in this, but none of us know exactly what it is. So I just started looking at artists and to see if I could find any common threads and hats was definitely the first one. Much smaller hats. There's no crease and the brims don't curve.
So you got that. If you see somebody with a hat, immediately you need to see, does it have the crease?
Yeah.
Does it have a curve?
The crease and the curve is very key.
Although, you know, I'm looking at Charlie Crockett that you mentioned in the article. I'm looking at you know, there, Jamie Wyatt, she's partial to quite a big hat.
This is the problem.
Sometimes. So I don't know if that's the definitive answer, to be honest.
It's not a hard and fast rule.
it's a good, immediately, as soon as I found that rule, I was like, we're done here. I'll hand this in, collect the check, and I'm done. This is the easiest. But then I realized there was Charlie Crockett, Margot Price, Jamie Wyatt, you know, Loretta Lynn, all of them had won Americana Awards. So then I thought maybe... I remember Sturgill Simpson said that it's like an Americana song says in 5 minutes what it takes country music 3 minutes to say. And I thought maybe that was the thing. So I went actually quite scientific on it and started comparing country music playlists with Americana playlists. And there's a genuine difference. So, like, you know, the average length is like 3 minutes, 10 seconds for a country playlist. An Americana, all, like, a third of them are over 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
None on Hot Country, not one song on over 4 minutes.
Radio. You got to have that radio edit.
Yeah. So after Hats, I did Hats and then song length. But again, it wasn't completely definitive. So then I started looking at fonts. As you know, I'd already done quite a lot of
work
with fonts. So I thought maybe it was fonts. And there definitely was sort of an Americana font and a sort of graininess and an old type. And it's just that sort of idea of like a sort of mythic idea of rural America. That seems to go, it's a thread that goes all the way through. They love a road. Americana loves a road, but not one with trucks on it, like in country. They're like an empty road. Nothing on it for miles. It can't be. They're not talking about a highway. Eyes being closed. That was the thing. I watched a lot of performances and I noticed that country singers always keep their eyes open, whereas Americana artists close them a lot more. I didn't put it in the article because I got
emoting.
So that's actually some fresh evidence there.
This is bonus material.
Yes, wow. See, this is why you listen to Hollow Weekly.
The best of Hollow Weekly.
Hollow Weekly.
Special guests.
Apple Music Country Radio presenters got in a conversation. We're talking about Reese Palmer and Kelly McCartney. I definitely was so interested to hear more about this. Both of them are making country music really reevaluate where they are on different levels, you know? So hearing this conversation, it was no holds barred. They were talking about all of it, including Reese's return to the Grand Ole Opry. It's been 13 years. How is that possible?
Crazy. Well, they have some ideas about why that is possible.
Right. Right. I mean, it is interesting to hear what the conversation really dives into and the fact that we're having these conversations even. I mean,
well, thank God we're having these conversations, right? And you know, this is an article that is on our website, holler.country. And I found this, I say it's an article, it's a conversation.
It's a conversation.
And I was absolutely fascinated by this and hearing these two trailblazers talk about this stuff together as friends and as colleagues and as comrades in this. And so I would say, we're going to play you a little clip of the interview, but I would say absolutely head over to holler.country and read the full interview. We'll also have a link on our show page on holler.country to help you find it easily. But they have a lot to say.
With all of these opportunities just all of a sudden opening up for you, Mickey Guyton, Breland, and a handful of others, it's hard not to be suspicious. Did both the Opry's invitation and the Hall of Fame exhibit, did that feel genuine rather than performative?
Country Music Hall of Fame for sure was genuine because I appreciate the work that they're trying to do there. They're working very hard to be inclusive in the history, and it's evident in the exhibits. It's evident in a lot of the work that they're doing behind the scenes that the public is not even aware of yet. So no, I have no doubt they were very intentional about what they're doing. And I think I was looking at the lineups that the Grand Ole Opry has for the next few weeks. And again, I know some stuff that the public doesn't know. And so I think they're very intentional. And I think it's small steps, but they're very significant steps. So no, I didn't feel like either invitation was performative.
You know, to me, Balin, this conversation is one that five years ago, this would have been a conversation that they would have just been having amongst themselves over tea or over dinner. You know, like, oh my gosh, can you believe that this is what's been happening? And oh, I experienced this. Oh, I experienced this too. But the fact that now this conversation is being had for everyone to hear, for everyone to see what's been happening and that changes are being made. I think it's been slow, but we got to start somewhere. You know, when you know better, you do better. So I feel like everybody's trying to do better.
Yeah, I'm so glad that these conversations are now out in the open because obviously people who have been on the receiving end of this sort of stuff, you know, they've been having these conversations already and they know what they're talking about. That was journalist Kelly McCartney and Reese Palmer having a conversation about
diversifying country music, an important conversation to be having. You can read the full article on holler.country. We're going to put a link to it in our show page. And actually, because they recorded that so beautifully and it's such an important topic, we are going to put the full conversation out as a special bonus episode of Holler Weekly. So that's going to be coming to your podcast platform very soon as well. So look out for that.
Holler.
Holler. This is Holler Weekly's best of season one, best bits. I love that you call them best bits.
What would you call it?
I would say best of, or best of, probably... Yeah. Favorite segments, or the best bits. Best bits has the alliteration. I like that.
It's best bits, it's favorite segments, it's best of, it's whatever you want to call it. This is a look back at season one and some of our favorites. Our favorite fine? No, I can't do the alliteration with favorites. But I can spell it different because I'm in the UK. I'll throw a U in there.
Throw a U in there. Do you do the U now or no?
Yeah, I have to do a U. I have to do U. I mean, you know, everything would auto-correct to put a U in if I didn't, and it does. So like my iPhone or my computer, whatever, it auto-corrects to a U. And if I'm typing a message to an American and I'm like, I'm not going to put a U in because I'm going to come across as a real, yeah. You know, I have to like go back, take the U out, and then it, you know, puts a red line under it like I've misspelled it.
What about color? Do you have a U in color?
Same with color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Favor.
This is so enlightening. I'm glad that we're catching up on this part right at the very end of season one. I mean, see, we still have much more to learn, and that's why season two will be on the way soon. But in the meantime, enjoy more of our best bits from Holler Weekly.
Kris Kristofferson in one version of A Star Is Born, the Barbara Streisand version, I think, right?
Can I just say something? Is this going to be really creepy?
Maybe.
Probably. I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay.
Kris Kristofferson, to me, is the most attractive older gentleman on the planet. I still think he is hot.
That doesn't sound creepy.
I don't care that he's in his 80s. I love that man.
It's starting to sound creepy.
A little bit. Yeah. And in person. Woo! He is.
Listen, that is the goal. Is to be, you know, to be an attractive person,
right?
Regardless of your age, right? So
it's just, yeah,
that's a good thing.
You know who else I think of though? It's so interesting when you said country artists who are actors. The first person I thought of was Dwight Yoakam
and Tim McGraw as well. Tim McGraw's been in quite a lot of things.
Gosh, I was in a movie with Tim McGraw. I completely forgot.
What? How was this not the first thing we're talking about?
And wait,
you're an actor? Wait, did you play yourself?
I did. I played myself.
On the red carpet, I'm betting.
No. Well, I was on the red carpet in one scene, but I was behind the scenes.
Oh my God, you had more than one scene. All right, tell me this story, please.
I was in Country Strong. If you've ever seen Country Strong, I'm in it. It's Gwyneth Paltrow and Tim McGraw. They filmed the movie and they needed reporters and anchors, television reporters. And I landed a spot as a TV reporter outside. But when they're going into the final show, I'm outside with my co-host and we're both debating on whether or not she's going to pull it out. You know, do you forgive her because she's a drug addict and all these things. And then after the show, I'm backstage with Tim asking him questions about her. Yeah.
Kelly Sutton, how did you forget this?
I don't know. Wow. It was a long time ago. It was
several
years ago.
What a varied career you've had.
Thank you. It was really fun. I will say it was very funny because Tim, for the movie, he grew his beard out. If you watch it, you know, he's got a scruffy kind of beard. He grew it out for the movie and it was really his hair. But then in our scene, it was a reshoot. So it was months later when they decided to shoot the scene and add it in. So it was fake. His beard was then fake. And I'm standing really close to him and all I can do is stare at this fake beard and think, okay, this just, it looks horrible.
This isn't going to read, people. Can we cut? This isn't going to work.
I'm sorry, friends. This is not going to work for me. And he looked at me and he goes, quit staring at my beard. I'm like, I can't help it. It looks horrible. And he goes, I know, but it's going to look fine on camera. And I'm like, yeah, we hope. But it was just this really funny back and forth because he knew I couldn't stop looking at it. I'm like, I'm sorry. The more I think not to look at it, that's all I can see.
Country Strong's very own Kelly Sutton here on Holler Weekly. What a joy. Wait, Ernie's at the door. Come on, Ernie.
Don't we all look forward to that? That's like the highlight.
Oh, Ernie's here. I might just go on mute and let Ernie take over. Ernie can write the review on the new single, I think. It'll be a lot better.
How's the Queen? We haven't heard any updates lately. Is she all right?
Do you know what? Talk about people not returning my emails.
Right.
I haven't heard a thing from her.
I think I told you that I had to do poetry in the Wheel of Death at a circus, right?
I'm sorry. No, you did not.
Did I not tell you that?
No.
I feel like I told you that. But I had to train to be in the Wheel of Death and everything.
What is the Wheel of Death?
It's like two wheels. I don't know how to describe it. Like a giant seesaw that goes all the way around. And there's a person inside each wheel. And you kind of run with it. And the whole thing spins around like that. With an actual like circus performer in the other wheel. And me like running around in a white bedazzled outfit to match all the circus performers while screaming poetry at the top of my lungs while it was being recorded and filmed for a whole thing. It was a whole thing. But I was so proud.
So what you're saying is there's a video of this somewhere.
There is, yeah.
Okay, well, now I found my life's mission.
Holler.
Holler the country.
You found the best of Holler Weekly.
So happy to say, Ty Herndon, welcome to Holler Weekly.
Thank you, man. And thanks for getting my last name right. All week it's been Henderson for some reason.
What? Who would call you Ty Henderson?
Come on.
You know what? I had my first song out, What Matter Most. I heard it all the time. Henderson, Hendrix. It was hilarious. You know, I should have just been like Cher and just been Ty.
Yeah. I mean, you could just be Ty now. Like you could drop Herndon completely and just be Ty. Exclamation mark.
I think we were talking about Reba earlier. I don't think I'm there yet, but I'm striving.
You're getting there. Well, you're getting there.
Everybody needs to have a goal.
How many years have we been doing this concert now, Ty?
This is year 6. Yes.
Wow. It has grown exponentially. I know, you know, Baylin and I were just remarking on this. First year that you decided to do this, what was it like? And what was the atmosphere? Because nothing like this had been done. Yeah. You were really stepping out, you know, into territory that had not been crossed in the country genre. What was that moment like when you said, I want to do this concert?
It's so interesting. That's a great question, by the way. I had a calmness about me. I mean, the evening of the concert at the City Winery was, I was like, okay, people show up. Amazing. If they don't, you know, we're just going to sing to the two people that are here. So it was a packed house. And by the grace of God, I just knew for me, the whole process of coming out was more about, it was really personal. It was more about, I think you'll hear any artist or any person say this with the kids that I talk to today. I go out and I tell them, so this is a choice for you to be authentic in your bones and blood. To go out and have an authentic, beautiful life. And there is always a family of people that's going to embrace you and love you. And that is a known fact. So with the concert for love and acceptance, and I always like to say, people ask me, it's like, you know, acceptance, isn't that like tolerating? I'm like, well, no. Acceptance means I love you and I accept you and I embrace you for exactly who you are.
Going back to that first year, looking at where you were there, and how excited you were that it was a packed room and that there were some people who wanted to sing on that stage. And now looking at it now where it's on a much bigger stage, you know, a much bigger platform, other yeah. people and other, you know, CMT and everybody else getting involved with this, you must feel, well, how do you feel? Because on the one hand, I think it would feel great, but also tinged with, why did this take so long?
You know, that's a whole TED talk.
Yeah, we're here for it.
Oh my gosh.
We'll get your remote and some slides. And you can
yeah, could be coming. You know, here we are 6 years into this and it's been so fun. And seeing us from the first year having to go out and just kind of let people know what we're doing and say, okay, we really want you to be on the show, but and having to explain what it is. Mm. And to this year, just having people call us and want to be on the show. It's been so miraculous. That's why we invented the red carpet countdown for the show, because I don't like to tell people no. When you've got these relevant artists that are doing so great and, you know, our slots fill up for the Concert for Love Acceptance in that 2 hours, and we created another hour and a half prior to the show. It's just amazing artists on the red carpet countdown. And yeah. Every year we move those stars up to the main show, and it's so fun to see people wanting to, it's like, all right, we're on the red carpet this year. You know, we're on the big show next year. I was like, you're on the big show now, baby. So to answer your question, man, I think any kind of change, especially in the environment that we are today, It takes time. It takes changing hearts. It takes people being patient and educating others on what's going on. And you know, I always like to say this, you know, you may know a little bit more about me now, but I'm still the same truck driving cowboy that I've always done. I sit on my tailgate, you know, and shell butter beans with my mama. So that's still me. And I think authenticity is a beautiful thing.
It seems like the tide has definitely been turning in the right direction. And we have so many people who are feeling comfortable in their own skin and coming out and being a part of country music.
Yeah.
We're seeing this on the outside, being an insider in the industry. Does it feel that way to you? Is this, you know what I'm getting at, Ty. Is this a lot of lip service that we're seeing from outside businesses? Like, hey.
Is this tokenism? Is this like, oh, this is the thing to do right now? Or is there a change?
Right. Are we feeling real change?
We are definitely feeling real change, for sure. I think that the powers that be from all the foundations to folks like you guys that are preaching the good gospel, that is the change. And I know that, as my grandma always said, that, you know, you just need a crack in the window, and anything bad always misses the mark, but goodness finds a way through. And I think a lot of goodness has come through those crack in the windows, and they're starting to be open. And what can happen in that arena is greatness. And what can happen in that arena is saving lives. And what can happen in that arena is some amazing new artists that probably didn't feel like they'd ever be heard. So, and in the arena and in the genre that they want to be in. Mm-hmm. So that is true change, and that is happening. And I know that all of us, including you guys, are going to continue to lift that change up. And that's what's going to keep it going.
Holler.
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 Hello. So good to see y'all. I'm so excited for this.
You, Priscilla Block, must feel this. You are a genuine sensation. I mean, we talked maybe a couple of months ago when it was all just kicking off, and it's still kicking off.
It's crazy. I don't even know what anything is anymore. You know, it's just so cool. So cool.
I know when we're looking at it now, it feels like it's been so fast and furious and like this overnight success for you hitting, you know, hundreds of thousands of people on TikTok and putting your music out there and then getting signed and then releasing your EP. But how long have you been at this, and how long have you been in Nashville working on your music?
I've been going at this for a long time. I've been in Nashville for 7 years now. So, you know, it's been kind of the thing. You come out here, you work any odd-end job that you can. I'm like walking tons of dogs and cleaning houses, you know? And this past year was kind of when everything changed for me.
Walking dogs also seems like a dream, if I'm honest with you. I mean, you know, look, I know it's not exactly like, it's not the end goal, but it's better than a lot of odd jobs you could have.
I don't know, because like sometimes the dog's walking me at this point in my life, I'm not like walking. So the dog's just kind of dragging me. I'm like, I know, I need to work out.
Did you ever have to walk a cat?
No.
Oh,
thank you, Jesus.
If I was a dog walker, I would diversify. And I'd be like, I can also walk your cat or your ferret or your guinea pig. And who is it? Oh, it's Carly Pierce. That's all about walking her cat.
I love it. I'll walk your bird. I mean, come on my bird scooter. I'll walk your bird.
You also told us, though, that you were like doing, you would find stuff on the side of the road and sell it, which to me, when you said that to me, I was like, okay, this is incredible. So share that story, because this actually kind of sparks interest in me. Like, I might want to do this one day.
Okay, I still do it. Like,
I
literally
love this. Oh my god.
Yesterday, me and my roommate found a bike, which I've honestly been wanting a bike for a long time. And I found this bike and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And there was a 24-pack of beer by it and like an old kid drum kit. And I'm like, we could sell this. But Yeah, I mean, I would drive around, you know, I could barely pay my rent. So I would drive around to like apartment complexes and just different dumpsters around Nashville. And I would find things and sell it on Craigslist. This is awesome.
Do you know what? When I lived in New York City, that's how I furnished my first apartments. Like when I was a student is, you know, you figured out in the nice neighborhoods when trash day was and you went shopping, basically. And you know what? Even now that I live in London, I promise you, no word of a lie, I have got a chair that I shipped from New York to London that is in my flat as we speak that I found on the side of the street in New York City.
I mean, honestly, my dude, because that's me.
Yeah.
Please, please, please share with everybody, because you are such a big Taylor fan. And I know that she had a big impact on you in a very weird, amazing, fortuitous meeting. And I don't know if everybody knows this story. So kind of set the scene. You had not had any success. You were like working in a froyo shop. And what happens?
So I was a year into Nashville and had the worst year. I mean, just from bad to worse. And I just kind of hit this moment where I'm this 18-year-old girl. I didn't know what to do, how to meet people. And I was the 15-year-old girl that knew all the Taylor Swift songs. So she's a huge reason why I moved to Nashville. And I was talking to my sister that day, and it was kind of the conversation of, should I go back home and really, you know, is this going to work? And I was working at a yogurt shop from 9 to 5, and I would go to class from 6 to 9. And leaving work, sure enough, Taylor Swift was driving by that day, and I was wearing a Taylor Swift t-shirt. And I was crossing the street. She pulled her car over to the side of the road, hops across her middle like console into her passenger seat and was like, "Hey, I love your shirt." And I walked up to her and we talked for a little bit. I don't think I told her I did music. And that was the day I was like, you know what? I need to give music a shot. So I decided to quit my job and quit school, and here we are.
And release those doggies you were walking, and now you're answering 13 questions on Holler Weekly.
Holler.
Holler Weekly.
Here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
What's your star sign?
A Libra. Yeah.
Dream duet partner.
Dan and Shay.
Favorite Disney film?
Beauty and the Beast.
Favorite album?
This is not a fair question. This is not a fair question at all by any stretch.
You're wasting time, sounds to me like.
Right now is Lemonade.
Your brother's middle name?
Joseph Little.
Mexican or Chinese?
Chinese.
Have you gotten a speeding ticket?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nickname growing up?
Stick figure.
Salsa or queso?
Queso.
Do you think Britney Spears will ever be free of her dad?
Yes.
First car you owned?
Tacoma.
First band you were obsessed with?
Shania Twain.
Dream duet partner?
Dolly Parton.
Time.
Okay.
How'd I do?
Let's go to producer Kira. Producer Kira, current time to beat, current score to beat, Calista Clark, 17.
Oh, Tenille Towns. I don't know that we got 17.
You got 18.
Oh,
yay! Boom. See?
Tenille Towns is the new one hot minute champion.
Wow. I feel so honored.
Furious.
1, 2, 3.
Holler!
Okay, don't actually holler. 1, 2, 3.
Holler. Well, there you go. Holler Weekly Season 1. Like, I wish I had a clapper board. No, that's when you start.
That's a wrap.
Yeah, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. That's a wrap on the set. Thank you, everyone, for all of your hard work and dedication. Thank you to everybody that's helped us put this together. It has been so much fun, and I feel like we're just scratching the surface. There's so much more to come, right?
We are, because we already have stuff lined up for Season 2. People knocking on the door. So make sure you're subscribed. I can't even say the word. Make sure you're subscribed to Holler Weekly, because you will be the first to know when Season 2 drops. And of course, if your friends, family, acquaintances, coworkers, they're into country music, or Americana music, or podcasts, or all of those things, tell them about Holler Weekly, because they can always listen whenever they want. Yeah, it has been a joy. Thanks to Kira. Thanks to Ross for producing. Thanks to Joyce for editing. But chiefly, thank you for listening. It's been a lovely thing, and we can't wait to talk to you again.
We will be talking to you very soon. More of Ernie the Cat, more One Hot Minute, more of our ramblings and crazy discussions, all coming to you in season 2. In the meantime, we love you. Thank you so much for subscribing, and we will holler at you soon.
Holler.
I would just like to just dedicate this moment to my co-host, Kelly Sutton, Emmy Award winning. Kelly Sutton, for just showing me the way with skincare regimes, with hair products.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just being you, Kelly.
Well,
I couldn't have done it without you. I mean, I could have, and it would have been shorter, but I couldn't have done it without you.
Same. I feel the same. It is so mutual.
It would definitely have been shorter
It would have been shorter. It would not have been as much fun. It would have been there, but it wouldn't have been as much fun. And I just have to say thank you to my CMA award-winning co-host, Baylen Leonard. I look forward to just hearing your voice each and every week to find out all of your crazy stories that have absolutely nothing to do with country music. Those are my favorite things that we talk about, truly.
I got loads of them. I can call you every week, even if we're not doing the podcast.
We're going to do that.